Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. Happy New Year, by the way. For those of you guys who are looking to have a New Year's resolution, I promise you, this interview today is going to help you with it no matter what that resolution is. With us today, we have award-winning healthcare professional and integrative pharmacist, Dr. Swathi. We're going to be talking about why your energy matters, and she believes that your body's unique energy signature can actually impact how you respond to nutrition, supplements, and daily habits. And she's here to explain how tuning into your energy can make you feel better. I'm really excited to get more into this. With us today, again, we have Dr. Swathi. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing very good. And also, happy holiday season. We are recording this in the holiday season. It'll come out in January. But I think this is a really good time to be having this conversation because you have the wintertime blues, you have the post-holiday blues. Heck, some people have the blues during the holidays because it brings up really hard memories, whatever that might be. So tuning into our energy, I feel, is very key. And before I let you kind of take it over from here, in my research and my reading of you, I saw here, I don't know if you said this specifically, if this is a quote or if this is just something you believe in general, in the future, wellness will combine chemistry and frequency. And as somebody who studied vibrational frequencies, not so much electromagnetic frequencies, but vibrational frequencies, I'm excited. So what exactly do you mean by tuning into our energy? What is energy? Can you define that for us? Because I feel like that term gets used so much in so many different ways.
Yeah, so energy, it's really not as complex as people think it is. Energy, I always boil down to how you feel, because energy is not only, you know, our vibrations, they're actually vibrations that can be measurable. And so these measurable vibrations can actually be captured with tools like spectroscopy. And then we can actually determine that the way that we feel is actually something that is quantifiable and something that we feel. And this feeling is energy. So it's, to me, energy is something as simple as how do we feel day in, day out? And how can we, you know, take these right steps to optimize our energy?
Yeah, and I think that's great. And when we're talking about the ways that things can be measured, as I said, I studied vibrational frequencies when I was in college being in audio engineering, but it goes beyond that, right? Now, if I got things correctly, you are also measuring things in the way of electromagnetic fields. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it could be electromagnetic fields, it could be spectroscopy. There are so many different ways that we can actually think about quantifying the, you know, the vibrations or the energy. And it's it's really interesting, particularly in our kind of mainstream discussion. A lot of people talk about energy as vibes. And so vibes and energy frequencies are synonymous. To me, they're the same thing. It's just vibes is kind of the everyday language for talking about this.
No, absolutely. Whether you got good vibes or bad vibes. No, I think that's really great to pinpoint there. And just kind of when it comes to our energies, you know, we can say it's like, oh, somebody's got a good energy. Somebody's got a good vibe. Somebody's got this. Now, with our energy and the way that you're looking into the wellness field with it, it's a very, very unique thing. Am I right? I even heard that it's like as unique as our fingerprints. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And at the end of the day, as you mentioned, I'm an integrative pharmacist. So I'm really interested in how therapy can be personalized and individualized to each person. And so as I think about, you know, in integrative medicine, it's really comprised of a number of modalities, or that's what I call them. The simple word for that is just options. So when I think of working with patients, it is, you know, these are all your potential options, or these are all the potential modalities that could potentially serve you. It could be everything from traditional pharmacotherapy, which is, again, just a fancy way of saying like prescription medications. It could be supplements. It could be herbs. It could be optimizing nutrition, sleep hygiene, and also our energy. So to me, it just fits into the bigger discussion of how can we better personalize therapy to every single person and treat everyone differently instead of just kind of blindly following clinical guidelines.
Absolutely. And I love that. I'm really intrigued by this. We're here at Mental Health America Studios, and they're one of our top sponsors. So this is this is a big thing. They're going to eat this one up. But I think that's a really great segue into what I really want to ask next about the individuality to all of it. You know, there are so many different ways that people can go about their nutrition, their health, and all that. Why do some people swear by certain supplements or specific diets while others see no change?
So much of what we take in or consume from our external environment. So consume could literally mean like from a media perspective, what we're seeing day in, day out. It also could be what we're actually consuming in terms of the more, normal way of thinking we think of consuming, like nutrition. And so it is a very personalized experience. And the way we take in this information is going to influence our energy and the energy that we put out there. So it makes a lot of sense to me that as we're thinking about how we can help people, we need to think about, yes, like what is impacting people in terms of what they're consuming, and how is that then being quote unquote digested in the body to then emit the way that they go around in the world through their energy and their vibrations. And so it's really all interwoven in that way.
No, I hear you on that. So when it comes to the environments that we create for ourselves, let's say it's a very, to use the term toxic, a toxic work environment, or a kind of you have a stressful house life, or you consume a lot of political news, and that right there, that's stressful enough. So outside of simply diet, nutrition, and all that, that consumption can play into things. And boy, I don't have to tell you twice how crazy that kind of energy is. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And these are kind of like some of the telltale ways to really see how your energy might be influenced. And you might feel like your energy is off, or like you might feel like your vibes are off, and for some reason you're just like not in like alignment. And some of the ways you could notice that is if like you're feeling drained no matter how much you rest, even if you're sleeping the quintessential 7 to 9 hours a night, but you're not feeling like you wake up and you're not feeling rested. Maybe you're getting sick more often, or you feel like low mood, or you feel under the weather, or you might even have mood swings that you can't explain. These are some ways to notice, like maybe my diet, quote unquote, of like what you're consuming is actually not really working with you, and it's actually working against you. And that actually comes back to your previous question of like, how come some people take supplements and they resonate with them really well, and then other people take the same supplements, but it doesn't work for them? Sometimes, if your energy is off, you actually can't take up the nutrients or the like bioactives or the actual components of what you're taking from a supplement, from food or otherwise, if your energy itself is off. So if you think about energy, it really is trying to target the root cause of some of these issues, versus, trying to apply a band-aid or just trying to look at the kind of external outputs.
That's fascinating. And when we have those blockages, that's very difficult. And I want to get into breaking those blockages and finding ways that we can help realign our energy. But the next question I really want to ask, kind of going in line of what you were saying about the certain supplements, about the certain foods. I was reading up in preparation with this that a number of companies, there are places out there that are studying the vibrational fingerprints of certain plants and certain biological factors so that, as you said, so therapy and other treatments can work better and they can be personalized. Do you have anything that you can really help elaborate on that to anybody who's like, what the heck does that mean? Finding out the vibrational fingerprints of plants? What the heck is that? Do you mind elaborating more on that for us?
Yeah, so there actually is an emerging field called quantum Ayurveda. You might have heard of traditional Ayurveda, which focuses on herbs, diet, and lifestyle to balance the mind, body, and spirit. But actually, quantum Ayurveda takes that foundation and adds a modern twist by measuring energy frequencies of plants and then matching them to our body's own energetic patterns. And one leader in this space is Green Space Herbs. They're actually the company that's put the name to this quantum Ayurveda. And they're pioneering research to make it more widely accessible. And they're currently dedicating their time, energy, and attention to this research and development. And actually, they just launched their products the end of Q4. So this is great timing, because now you
Perfect.
can actually look into the products and look into some of the education at greenspaceherbs.com.
We're going to have to link that in the description of this episode so people can do their own research on it and see what they have there. But that's fascinating. So let's take somebody who has an energy that is creating those blockages, and they're not able to have certain supplements that a friend, neighbor, or even a doctor would recommend. But understanding their frequencies, their vibrational frequencies, whatever it might be, understanding that you're saying that they could find the right things to help you get back in tune. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's the exact idea. It's like if someone is, ready and able to take in these supplements, but even before you get to the supplements, there are so many things that throw out or throw off our energy, and then so many ways that we can actually retune our energy to make our bodies ready to actually take in the nutrients and bioactives from some of these components. So if you want, I can talk about some of that.
Absolutely. No, I definitely want to get into that for sure. If you're ready to step into that space, let's do it.
Sure. Yeah. So, as we were talking about energy and like how we can get our bodies more optimized and aligned, particularly if we want to make some of these like interventions or changes that, include the new supplements that could then be beneficial. First it's important to talk about some of the things that actually throw off our energy. So things like stress. I know in particular we're coming right out of the holiday season, which is so stressful for so many different reasons for a lot of people. And so how can we think about bringing our stress levels down? And so much to like with this conversation about stress, it's really the conversation of how stress impacts our nervous system, our immune system, and just our overall body. And stress often manifests as inflammation. I know inflammation has like such a big, kind of bad reputation as everyone's like, oh, I don't want inflammation. At the end of the day, not all inflammation is bad. We do want what's called acute inflammation. So that's like if we get a bee sting, we certainly want there to be, the acute inflammation to kind of take care of, our body fighting against this bee sting. But what we don't want is chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation at the end of the day is excess or unwanted inflammation. And so a lot of these strategies that are really throwing off our energy. The root of it and a lot of it has to do with this like unwanted excess inflammation that we really need to take steps to delete or like eliminate. So stress is one of the key factors. Another one is not getting enough of like the restful sleep, having too much screen time. So whether that's, like our computers, our phones, our iPads, all of those things, because they emit blue light, and blue light has been shown in research to really throw off our, our inflammatory pathways and make our body feel like it is under stress. Another one is staying indoors for too long. And I know at a lot of places in the country right now, it is not super exciting to go outside because it might not be very sunny. But I
Wintertime
would,
does not make it easy. No, it does
right?
not.
Exactly. And so I totally understand that. And so I'm not asking you to spend like 3 hours outside, going on a long hike in the snow. It's more of like, how can you incorporate more moments of, just stepping outside? And then the other thing, which we already talked about a little bit, is, how other people and their energy, particularly people who have like a negative or, not super positive predisposition, they can throw off our energy. So those are a lot of like the key ways that I've seen like working with patients that really throws off energy. But the good thing is that there are so many simple, practical ways that we can actually optimize our energy that cost nothing. And so the first one is movement. And so again, I'm not asking anyone to go on like a three-hour hike in the snow. I'm
Even though it
thinking
can
more
be
of like
beautiful.
it can be beautiful, but I do understand where a lot of patients are starting, and that might not be like feasible for them. And so I always want to think about what is going to work for the patient and their lifestyle and their treatment goals. So first and foremost, what about stretching? Thinking about like, yes, you want to watch your TV at night. That sounds great. But instead of sitting on the couch, what about like regular stretching that you can incorporate into your routine? So I oftentimes recommend it like that, or even simpler is like before you're getting into bed, doing the stretching, like putting out, like rolling out a mat right next to your bed, or like having that mat rolled out ready to go right as you're waking up. It could be 5 minutes to get started to just do the stretching, and that can help to release pent-up energy. So stretching is one. Yoga, if you're interested in that, again, you don't need to go to a yoga class. You can totally just do that in the comfort of your own home with like a YouTube video that's free. And then also this is kind of pairing movement with, sunlight exposure, but starting to take a walk around the block, that would be a great way. And I always say for people who are not used to incorporating a lot of walking, you can start with just 5 minutes, particularly if you have a very busy schedule, or maybe it's just parking a little bit farther away from, from Marshall's before walking in. Like, it could be really like as simple as that to just incorporate a little more time of being outside. So movement is the first one. I already hinted at a little bit sunlight exposure because I mean there's tons of research to show that how that's helped to recharge our body's natural rhythms. And so if there's a way, to compound a few of these, or it's also called habit stacking, to put a few of these things together. The next one is breathing. And I know everyone thinks like, okay, yes, breathing. Do you mean like meditation? Like, what do you mean? It doesn't, again, have to be some like complex thing where you're sitting in a corner for 3 hours and you have incense going and like, we don't have time for that. I mean, I don't have time. So instead, like I want to think about what is going to work throughout your day. So I always recommend if you're, stopped at a red light, how can you utilize those few moments to do slow diaphragmatic breathing? Because that breathing can really help regulate and reset your nervous system. Or maybe you are waiting in line to check out at the grocery store, or, you're waiting to, return some holiday gift that you didn't love and you're stuck in a long line. Like those are a great like way to like build in these moments throughout the day. And then there's also another way with sound. I mean, even as like we're both speaking, you can feel the vibration in your body and how that vibration makes you feel some sort of way, but then also you're emitting vibrations out. And so that could be singing, that could be humming, or even just starting to feel into the way you feel with sound. Sound can really be super beneficial. And I really try to make these strategies as tangible and simple as possible because we all lead very busy lives with a lot of competing priorities. So we need to figure out how, in fact, we can feel our best, but in a way that's actually going to work.
Absolutely. I thank you for sharing all of that. I think that's really important. And I kind of want to break down a couple of the things that you said right there. Want to start off with movement. They always say movement is a big thing, and how with, the New Year's resolutions, a lot of people are hitting the gym. That's like one of the top things that people always make a New Year's resolution. And as you said, if you're not used to something, start small and start slow. Make it a walk from the parking lot. Yoga's great, stretching's great. I'm a person who can't sit still. So when I'm in front of the TV at night, if I'm watching a movie or show, I am stretching. I like doing that. It keeps me aligned, it keeps me in tuned, and I really appreciate what it does for me. And then what are the things that you do, if you don't mind me asking? What is like your personal way of movement?
Yeah, so my two favorites are the first one is walking. I absolutely love to walk. I always like kind of challenge myself to increase my step count. Like, even if it's by like another 25 steps per month, like something again, like achievable goals. And so like something as simple as that, where, I use all of these strategies where like before, like or in between like two meetings, if I have 7 minutes, I will get up and I will pace around my apartment if it's freezing out and I don't want to my boots and all the things, I will just like pace around my apartment for 7 minutes. And then, I've gotten a little bit of that, like, kind of movement snack, some people call it, of like, okay, instead of, grabbing a snack, you're doing like a movement snack. And so
A
you have
movement
7 minutes.
snack. I
Yeah,
like that term.
exactly.
I
So it's
really
just
like
like
that
so
term.
simple, right? So like that's one of the things that I love. And then I like to budget time like in the morning and the evening to go on a little bit of like a longer walk if I can. Some days, I mean, are busier than others and you don't have the same time, but then you kind of look at the average throughout the week because I think that we get really hard on ourselves when we don't hit a step goal or something every single day. I don't look at it every single day because then it becomes really complicated and then you end up feeling like you didn't achieve your goals that day. Instead, I like thinking about it on a weekly basis and looking at, okay, what's my weekly walk rate? And like, how many steps am I aiming for, like, as an average for the whole week? And then that just makes me feel like, okay, like I know that I can hit a certain number of steps on a Saturday because I might not be working. But then, like, Tuesday, and Thursday tend to be the busy days, and I certainly, won't be able to hit that same goal. So walking to me is really great. And I mean, there's just so much great science because, it improves your flexibility and your range
Yes.
of motion. It helps reduce muscle tension, particularly if you're doing other forms of movement throughout the week. And it increases your blood flow. So that's not only blood flow to the, exact, muscles in question, it's also blood flow to your brain. So it actually definitely
Yes.
helps you like feel and think better. So those are just some of the ways. And of course, like if you can get outside to do these things, like even better. One of the other things people don't talk about enough is like the mitochondrial efficiency component is like if you don't use it, you lose it. And that applies to, kind of everything. But in particular, for when we're thinking about optimizing our daily energy, we definitely need to think about how our mitochondria are working. And there actually has been recent research, which is very interesting, that the more that you actually incorporate movement throughout the day instead of like sitting all day and then doing like 1 hour of intense walking later or something, or 1 hour of the gym, but you're sitting the whole rest of the day, the outcomes are actually worse than if you did that same amount of 60 minutes, but you like actually piecemealed it throughout the day. The outcomes are actually better for people in the long term. So it really is thinking about it in terms of like snacks, but also like how can you get that great, movement in one, like a longer form together, but kind of putting it all together, if that makes sense. So walking is the first thing that I think is super underrated, and a lot of people don't view it as like, oh, but I'm not running, I'm not doing XYZ thing. I'm like, it's still aerobic and you're still
Oh,
getting
yeah.
so much of these benefits. So that's the first thing is walking. The other thing that I really love to do is Pilates.
Oh, yeah.
So I love Pilates from the perspective of like, again, mobility, range of motion. I also kind of like it from a social perspective as well because I work predominantly remotely. So I love going and actually like interacting with the same people a few times a week, like at the studio, whether it's like the students or the, the people who actually run the studio. So I like it also from a social component. And then I like it also because there is the component of flexibility, of movement, of aerobic activity, but you're also doing resistance training, which I think is really important because you're oftentimes adding different weights for different exercises, or maybe you're actually like adding hand weights into some of these exercises, and it becomes like a full body workout every single time, even if you're only focusing on like core for 10 minutes and then you're focusing on lower body for 20 minutes and this, that, and the other. It's actually like becomes a full body thing. And so much of it has to do with stability because you actually need to think about not falling off a machine. And so you actually need to have really good core strength, and your mind is very much involved. So I'm a huge proponent of that if people are interested in it. And there's so many different forms of Pilates as well. I like reformer because it's like it feels very like all of the things I mentioned, like full body and resistance and all of those things. But there's also mat Pilates and other things too. When it comes to movement, it's just like you need to try out a bunch of different things to see what you like. I do think some sort of aerobic activity like walking, and that should, I mean, this is kind of my opinion, but I feel like it should be like a non-negotiable for most people to have some
Yeah.
sort of aerobic activity like that. But when it comes to like resistance training and more performance, I feel like you need to find something that you really like, and that you're actually going to stick to and you look forward to doing. For some people, that is like some sort of class in person. And for other people, that is, like figuring out a way to put it into their schedule and doing it online with like YouTube or finding some sort of like instructor that you like online or an app or something like that. But it does take a lot of trial and error, unfortunately. And I think that's what frustrates a lot of people on their quote unquote kind of like fitness journey is like
Yes.
it's really hard to find something that you really like. Because they're just, I mean, there's so many options and it's great, but sometimes we're paralyzed by like, wow, there are so many options. So I think it's just, yeah, if you're able to kind of test and see what you like and what you don't like and what sort of combination works for you, that's really the best.
No, that's phenomenal. Thank you for sharing what you do, and I'm sure a number of people can probably relate to that, or maybe they can find solace in that themselves as they're trying to rework or kickstart their fitness journey for the new year. I think that's great. Personally, I love resistance training, but I also love walks. I love it, whether it's on the treadmill or if I get to go on a hike somewhere. That's something I really like. Walking is so simple, but it is so underutilized because we've become so sedentary as a society, at least Western culture, I can at least say. And the fact that we are sitting at work, we're sitting at home, we're not as up and about as we used to be. I know how they always say, like, the freshman 15 back in college. I lost weight in college because I was walking around everywhere. I had a backpack on my back carrying X amount of pounds. I'm walking everywhere. And then I got out of college. Well, actually, when I got out of college, it was the pandemic. I graduated in 2020. Where was there to go? I couldn't walk anywhere. And that's when I put on weight again. So I think it's very fascinating. I think people do need to get up and walk more. So thank you for sharing all that. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today. Make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. It's the end of the year, and you may need to free up space for guests for the holidays, store seasonal decorations, secure valuables, and maybe even hide the presents. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings before, during, and after the festive season. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. The other thing I want to get into now, going down the list of things to do, breathing. I love what you said about, like, even if you're in the car, taking a moment for breathing for yourself. That's something that I do, because most people don't realize this. They take in such shallow breaths. They don't realize how technically bad we breathe, you know, kind of like posture, you know. Actually, it does relate with posture. As somebody who studied singing, as somebody who's studied all of the ways that our bodies work when it comes to when we're singing and producing sound, you also have to study the breathing as well and those techniques. So, whether it's the 478 breathing or box breathing or something like that, actually allowing yourself to have a deep breath can go such a long way, because that's something so simple that we are not providing for ourselves. Do you have anything you'd like to add on to that point?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I could say so much about this because breathing connects to our autonomic nervous system. And so our autonomic nervous system has two different branches that people might, you know a little bit about. So I don't want to belabor it, but it's, you know, we have our sympathetic nervous system. So that's our fight, flight, or freeze response, you know, and then we have our parasympathetic nervous system. That's the rest, digest, restore sort of part. And so slow breathing actually impacts both of these systems in a really good way. And again, like the sympathetic nervous system gets a bad rep, like inflammation, that like, oh, this, it's only bad. No, we need that as well. But there is a lot more discussion of like the parasympathetic activity and how we can best like actually, you know, harness that a little bit more. And slow breathing really does so much for our body, especially when we think about the long exhale. So the exhale is the most important part, and that is what's really linked to that parasympathetic activation. So again, the like restore, relax, digest sort of component. Because the longer your exhale is, the more calming it is for your body. And it's actually good to, actually, you mentioned a few of the strategies of like the box breathing and the different types of ways that we can inhale for a certain amount of time and exhale for a certain amount of time. I like the idea of always making your exhale longer than your inhale. It doesn't need to be like 4 and 8 seconds, you know, if that seems kind of dramatic in the beginning, but I like the idea of starting off with 4 and even just starting with a 5 second exhale to begin with, because that exhale is really what is going to help relax the body. And the longer the exhale is, probably the better it is. And it actually also ties into the idea of like how oxygen plays a role in all of this, because people do focus on oxygen, but it's also the idea of the CO2 and that balance of the two that really helps with the nervous system stability, because we need a good balance of the two, because, you know, we need to think about how that can really influence the parasympathetic activity. So, I mean, I could say a lot more about that, but pretty much the longer you exhale, the more you tell your body that, you know, I'm relaxing now, there isn't stress around. Because if your exhales are shorter than your inhales, then that actually turns on the sympathetic nervous system. And then your body thinks that, you know, there is some sort of tiger coming after you. And your body has to make some sort of decision, because now it's in this hyper stressed environment. And if you're constantly breathing with shorter exhales, then your body will constantly think that a tiger is after you. And that is going to stress your body out. And then the cascade is going to be that, you know, that unwanted excess inflammation that we talked about before.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people are in that fight or flight stage. So many people are in survival mode. And that is so dangerous to be in survival mode all the time. And normally it's because of stress at work. It's because of the screens. We are constantly upping our anxiety, upping our adrenaline in ways that we cannot pause. Again, what I mentioned about Western society, we are just this a million miles a minute kind of culture where it doesn't always allow for that moment of pause, that moment of stillness. So obviously we were talking about movement, but what do you have to say when it comes to just quieting down that quote unquote like energetic noise and just being still?
Yeah, I mean, stillness is so important. And even like going back to what we were talking about with walking, that is an amazing moment to incorporate some stillness. And, you know, you might live in an urban environment like I do, like you might live like in a rural environment where it is a bit quieter just in general. But I think taking in our surroundings, we can incorporate some sort of like what I like to think of as like kind of active stillness, right? So it's like, it doesn't need to be stillness, again, like sitting for 3 hours in a corner with your, you know, incense going and all that. We really need to think about how we are incorporating it in things that we're already doing. So like, for example, if you're going on a walk, I would, you know, challenge you to maybe not take your headphones and not, yes, especially now, so many of our headphones have noise canceling. So you can literally be walking around the city and not hearing anything going around in the city around you, which we can talk about, that might be an issue for safety, but also like you're not actually being in the here now, you're tuning out and like maybe listening to something else. And so I would maybe have a reframe there of like, maybe you're listening to that podcast that you really want to listen to, but when you're like making dinner or getting ready for bed or getting ready in the morning, and then instead going on that walk and not taking headphones, or maybe you take your headphones the first time just to like know that you have them just in case like you feel uncomfortable. I think a lot of people feel uncomfortable in stillness and in like particularly not even just like physical stillness, like their mind being still.
Yes.
But I would challenge you to go on a walk first and just see, because there's still stimulation externally. And so it is a level of stillness, but it's a different kind. So I would maybe start there and then see how you can incorporate other moments of stillness, because a lot of that noise comes from all of this external stimulation. Like we have enough stimulation going on in our mind without even incorporating or involving something else outside of us. So I
Amen.
would, right? So I would very much start off with like, let's think about how to decrease the external like disruptors, if you will, and then you can actually think about like what your what you want to think about. And the interesting thing that, so many people say they get their best ideas in the shower. If you
Yes.
think about
Yes.
why that is, there's no opportunity. Well, I guess some people do play music in the shower, so maybe that doesn't apply to this. But for most people, when you're in the shower, there's literally nothing else to do. You are in the shower with the water, and that is it. And so that is when you actually have a moment to think these like big, awesome thoughts, because you don't have any distractions. And I think another word for that noise that you're describing is just distractions. Like, how can we
Yes.
remove these distractions that like we are literally inviting into our lives? Like, you don't have to have these distractions, but we are inviting them and adding them in because we're not used to any sort of stillness.
Oh, yeah. People are terrified of what's in their mind and having to actually wrestle with that and deal with that. Hence why it's so important to, I think it's good for a lot of people to experience a therapist, a counselor, just have somebody to be able to bounce these things off of in a safe space. It doesn't have to be a professional. It could be just somebody that you trust. And I think that is so key to really understanding and having that stillness. What you said about shower thoughts, amen to that. I call it overall bathroom thoughts, because even if I'm just in the bathroom in general, that whole time period, I try not to be on my phone too much if I'm using the bathroom, or even when I'm driving, I try to turn off the radio, turn off the Bluetooth, turn off all that, and just kind of think. And I get a lot of great moments out of that as well. So no, thank you for going into that and sharing all of that. Oh my God, I feel like so much we can tap into in this conversation. We got roughly 15, 20 minutes left, so I want to make sure that we hit certain points. There's something that, let's see, how do I want to address this next point? With the energy, the way that we put our energy out there and the way that it's received. As people are starting the new year, that new year, new me mentality, and the idea that everybody is having their resolutions. I want to talk about the law of attraction for a second. And for anybody who isn't as aware of the law of attraction, it's the belief that positive or negative thoughts or feelings will bring similar experiences into a person's life, following the principle that like attracts like. So that seems to go hand in hand when it comes to energy. The kind of energy we put out must be the energy that we invite into our lives. What are your thoughts on the law of attraction, and what can you say about attaining certain things going into the new year?
I mean, I think you nailed it. I think that the way we view the world is the way that the world is mirrored back to us. And so if you think that people are awesome, like you are going to see that in the world people are awesome. Whereas like if you think like, oh my gosh, and this happens all the time with people who are dating, they're like, oh my gosh, everyone sucks. And it's like, well, if you're going around thinking that everyone sucks, then that's what's going to be mirrored back to you, that everyone sucks. And so it actually comes down to the reticulator activating system, and so the RAS, and it really filters the, millions of signals or external stimuli that we're getting from the world and how we view that. Because if you think about it, if you're walking around next to another person and you have the mentality of like, wow, today sucks, but the person next to you is thinking, wow, today's amazing, but you're having the same experience because you're walking down the same block and seeing the same things, what are you focusing on? And how are you interpreting all of these like external things that are happening around you? And that's the way that you're going to go about and think about the world, yourself, and life in general. And I do think that the way that you go about in the world is like the way that you are going to end up, feeling about the world, if that makes
Yes,
sense. I do think
yes.
that if you are going around with a positive attitude or positive energy in the context of what we are talking about, then that is what you are going to experience. So I think like so much of, and like, you know, it's interesting because not everything about energy is something that like you even necessarily feel yourself. Some of like what you're emitting and like what you are putting out there, you might not even have control over. And so it's really important that you do some of these strategies and you feel into the way that you want to go about in the world, because that is likely what is going to happen to you.
Beautiful. I love what you were saying about like that mirroring aspect. I think that's great. Kind of reminds me of the yellow car theory. You go looking for yellow cars, you'll see yellow cars everywhere.
Yep,
Yeah.
exactly.
So, yeah, what you're putting out there is what you'll receive. That's fantastic. So, I feel like I probably should have asked this question sooner in this discussion, but I'm glad that we have the chance to ask it now. When it comes to actually, scientifically reading and measuring somebody's energy, where can the average person go, or what should they do in order to get that read and measured?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, most of the way that we know about like the scientific perspective of measuring energy actually has to do with like what has been done in a lab versus like kind of like what we would call like real world data. That being said, there are certain ways, like let's say for example, you have like an Oura ring or you have a Fitbit or you have some of these like wearable devices. Some of them do have certain things that you can monitor to kind of like see the way that you are, you know, the way that your nervous system is being regulated, or kind of like pertaining to your emotional state or sleep quality, or even like mitochondrial efficiency, or just like how your body is dealing with like the day in, day out. One of them is heart rate variability. So this kind of measures your autonomic nervous system, again, that like parasympathetic versus sympathetic, how your body is dealing with like resilience and stress and even recovery. And so the higher your average HRV or your heart rate variability is, likely, you know, you have like so that's generally like when you have more variability versus like a lower heart rate variability is generally when you have like more stress or fatigue. So it's pretty much you want like for your heart rate variability, you want it to be something that is more regulated, and versus something that is, you know, not, you know, that's something that's not changing that much. So that's one of them. The other one is like your resting heart rate. So the resting heart rate is you pretty much want like the slower, more steady resting heart rate because it corresponds to more like calmer and kind of steadier energy. And this, the quintessential thing when people think of like the resting heart rate is like people who run marathons or who like have a very, very active lifestyle, they tend to have a very low resting heart rate because they're able to get kind of in that rhythm of, you know, being able to modulate their systems well. And so pretty much the goal there is like, how can you have the lowest resting heart rate possible? Because that really means you can hone into your parasympathetic energy. So that's that. There's also, you know, there are different methods, kind of like EEG brainwave testing, that actually just measures like your electrical activity in your brain. That is something that, I mean, most people don't own like an EEG device or anything, but a lot of, you know, a lot of practitioners or a lot of healthcare providers do have that sort of technology. And you're able to kind of see, you know, how noisy or how quiet your internal energy is based on these different frequencies. So that's certainly something. And especially if you're going to go see your healthcare provider, if they're a functional medicine practitioner, integrative medicine, or just like a normal practitioner, you can oftentimes ask for some of these biomarkers, that are, you know, either surrogate markers or, you know, biomarkers associated with mitochondrial function. So they could be like your lactate or pyruvate ratio, your lactate pyruvate ratio, your organic acids tests, your NAD levels, CoQ10 levels, or even like other oxidative stress markers like hsCRP. So there are a lot of different other things as well. It's kind of endless once you start thinking about the different ways to regulate it, but and the different ways, sorry, not to just regulate it, but the different ways that you can actually look into what these all mean. But it's kind of like doing all these different things along with some of the habits and like tips that we talked about earlier, and putting it all together again in this kind of like integrative picture or whole person approach.
Yeah, having that holistic approach is definitely imperative to be able to understand the person and be able to move forward on everybody's individual needs. That's great. Dr. Swathi, I really appreciate this whole discussion. I feel like we have so many great little nuggets out of this episode, and we're coming to the end of the episode. I know that you have to move on with the rest of your day. I greatly appreciate your time. But as we wrap up this episode, I guess the last thing that I really want to ask is, what are you most excited about in regards to energy-based wellness for the future?
Honestly, I'm just very excited that we're talking about it. I'm excited that more people are getting interested in it and realizing that beyond some of the more, conventional ways of looking at healing, health, and wellness, that we're actually thinking about not only the root cause in terms of like what testing and like what sort of ways we can feel into these things, but also how our energy really does play a role and how energy and our energy patterns are so important. And not only do we need to, incorporate some of these strategies like movement and, improving our sleep, improving our breathing, getting outside, getting away from negative people, all those things.
Yes.
We also like now have these companies that are innovating and thinking about, okay, how do we actually optimize products and these products to match our energy? So yeah, if people want to learn more, definitely I recommend checking out greenspaceherbs.com. You can connect with me on Instagram and LinkedIn so that we can continue the conversation, because I think that this is just the initial frontier of talking about energy. And I feel like right now it's kind of on the fringes, but I think in due time, a lot of people are going to be talking about not only what can we do from a nutrition, movement, et cetera, but like, how can we actually incorporate energy in a more like quantifiable way to make real strides and change?
Absolutely. And it's so funny that you say how it is that on the fringe, and it is on the fringe to a degree, but civilization for hundreds of thousands of years understood that energy was important. They may not have known all the science behind it, but they knew that it was important. And there were so many different ways, and fortunately still plenty of ways, that people can get in tune with that. But somewhere along the line of the revolution of science and industry, we lost that. So I guess this will be the last question. How do you hope that we retrieve that sense of attunement that we used to have prior as a civilization?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think that we need to, I mean, this can apply to many aspects of life.
Yes.
We need to look to the history of like how things were done in the past and like what worked and what didn't. And some of these things are, and especially as it pertains to energy, it's very much evidence-based, very much science-backed. It's just some of the science is not, something that was maybe done in the US or maybe something that wasn't published in English. That doesn't necessarily mean that it makes it any less viable or any less scientifically or medically driven.
Amen.
And so I think like thinking about the historical context and what has worked for so many different people and thousands of people across so many different years, and also like what didn't serve others, and then using that context to best inform what we do in the future is really going to be key.
Amazing. And of course, you can find all of Dr. Swathi's information in the description of this episode so we can continue the conversation and hopefully lead you into a very prosperous 2026. Dr. Swathi, thank you so much for being on this episode of Walsh Wednesday.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm Connor.
I'm Dr. Swathi.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, V-Bash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.